Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Again, what a blessing it is just being in church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, on Wednesday nights we've been looking at and studying the life of Noah. And when you think about Noah, you can't help but to think about the flood, because I think that goes just hand in hand, Noah and the great flood. And so we've been looking at the world before the flood and the civilization on planet Earth, and God has given us much insight into what was taking place on Earth. There had almost 1,700 years of population and the growth of the population on planet Earth. We've been studying all the different things concerning that, and then what happened as far as the mentality of mankind when they started having unequally yoked marriages, when we find those of the descendants of Cain, which would have been heathen, which would not have acknowledged God, and they were marrying the descendants of Seth, which would have been those that started calling about God, who believed in God. And so we find the civilization was somewhat very similar to what it has been since that time as far as the population on Earth and as it grows and what takes place when mankind gets away from the biblical principles that God's established for man to live by. And so it was becoming very quickly a godless society on Earth. And so we found that all the things that was taking place in that, and then we found last week what we studied was Noah found grace. Noah found grace, and we studied grace offered before judgment. And last week, we kind of stayed on the idea of the judgment part of it, the surety of it. It's going to happen. Once God says he is going to judge, mark it down, he will judge. Judgment is coming, as it would be coming in the Old Testament before the flood. And now the judgment upon humanity will be by fire, and it will be at the end time. And so we don't know just how long he will give us before the judgment. The judgment is coming, and it will be by fire the next time. So we've studied some of that and the idea of the surety and then the severity of judgment, understanding that hell is a very real place. And when the spirit of a man or a woman dies, that spirit goes to a place, either if they're lost, a place of torment. If they're saved, they go to be in the presence of God. And then at the end of time, there's going to be a great white judgment. And all of those that are at that point lost, that have died up to that point, will be cast into an eternal lake of fire, which is Gehenna, hell, the final judgment of God. And so we know that it's a very real thing, and people do not want to think about it being real, and we'll get into a little bit of that in just a minute. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the God's introduction of Noah, because not only does Noah give us insight into the great flood, but Noah also gives us insight into God's grace. And we'll be looking a little bit more at that tonight. And so we're going to be reading verse 5 all the way down to verse 13 tonight, God's introduction. This is God's introduction of Noah. And so go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to be looking at this here tonight. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And we've studied that. And then the Lord said, I will destroy. Judgment was already proclaimed. I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. In verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. What a great description, an introduction to the person, the Bible character of Noah. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for every opportunity you give us that would help us to better understand your will and your way and your word. Pray tonight that we would come here tonight, no matter what is going on at this moment, the most important thing is for us to receive what you have for us. And so help us to put everything else out of our minds and focus on this message from Noah and what you say about Noah and how that is a picture of grace tonight. And so I pray that you would just bless each one here through the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So God's plan for grace. Okay, we just studied, God said, judgment's coming. Now, the severity of it, the surety of it, I will. The severity of it, I will destroy man off the face of the earth. So he gives us this idea that the surety of it, the severity of it, the very same with the judgment at the end of all time. When God will surely judge all men, and that's for even the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. For the lost, it'll be at the great white throne judgment. And the severity, this earth will be no more. It will totally be destroyed as by fire. Okay, so even more severe than the flood. I think I'd mentioned last week, if I thought of the two judgments, I think that if we had to perish by either one of those, through the flood or through the fire, if we had our choice, I would think that fire would be more of a severe punishment. And I think that most all people would agree with that and would possibly say the very same thing. But so the severity is going to even increase at the end times, but the surety is there. If God judged the world and has recorded in the scriptures telling us that if I judge the world, then you mark it down, he will judge. And there will be an eternal Gehenna hell that he will cast people into. And so God's plan for grace, the judgment's coming. We studied last week that grace is offered before judgment. Grace has been offered before judgment. And so God's plan for grace to give us a better idea and an understanding, this is an illustration of the same grace. The grace has not changed. God is not changed. He's immutable. He changes not. And so his grace has not changed. And we find a picture of his grace through Noah and the ark. See, some view the reality of hell, which is God's judgment of sin, as something very cruel. And thus they come up with this idea that if God is a God of love, and how can this be? How can a loving God place anybody in an eternal lake of fire? And so because of that, they will want to accept the fact that there's a heaven. And if they want to accept the fact that there is a God, they do not want to accept the fact that there is a burning hell. They do not want to accept the fact of judgment, because they think if we serve a loving gracious God, then he would not be able to put anybody in a place of eternal torment and place of hell. But in doing that, they're ignorant of the fact that they deserve judgment. If we know the law, and if we break the law, then we deserve to pay the consequences of breaking that law. And God has always established what the law was for humanity. He's always established what he expected out of humanity. And with that expectation, then he presented a judgment. If this is not done, if my expectations are not lived up to, then these are the consequences of that sin. And that is judgment. But then even after that, even though man deserved it, and judgment was coming, God is a loving, graceful God. And God, before he would even execute the judgment, he would have a plan that would offer grace. God offers grace first. But mark it down, if we don't accept the grace, we will suffer judgment. I don't look at that as a cruel God. I look at that as being a loving, just God, as he is. So Noah and the ark is a type of saving grace. I don't think you can separate the two in the Bible. The history and how God presents Noah, he also presents Noah as his plan for grace. He acknowledged the judgment's coming, and then he introduces Noah. And what he's going to instruct Noah to do, and what he instructs Noah to do in building the ark, is God offering grace to humanity for the earth as a way to escape the judgment of the flood. And there was not any other ark. There's only one ark. God had one plan for man. He had one design for grace. And what a blessing it is to understand that, and how that we realize that it goes hand in hand with what God has established for throughout humanity, throughout time. The very same grace. And so it's a picture of that even tonight as we read it. And praise the Lord that God has written it down, and he has preserved it for us that we might understand that. So, and of course the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Saved from what? Judgment. Eternal hell. Separation from God. So here it is. As we look here, what does God do? God's introduction of Noah begins with Noah's conversion. Noah's acceptance of God's grace for his life. What is that? So look what the Bible says, verse 8. Look there with me. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Doesn't tell us how old Noah was when he found grace. I believe he was young. Now, he was 480 before he would have children. As we go into the children, we're going to see that was after God had instructed him in grace. He had the children during the time that he was building the ark. And we'll be looking at that somewhat next week as we continue their study here. But tonight, it's his introduction of Noah. And the first thing that he says about Noah, as far as his introduction to this man, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we have the ancestry of Noah. We have the genealogy that leads back and leads up to Noah. But this is the first thing that God says about Noah. Because after he has established judgment, now he's going to offer grace before judgment. And so Noah is part of that. And so we find here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord while living in a sinful world. How sinful was it when Noah got saved? It was getting pretty bad. And what God presents to us here, as far as what it was, where it actually ended up before God says, all right, that's enough, I am going to judge. The Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continued. That's what the condition of the world was. A very difficult condition, a very difficult place for anybody to live as God would have them to live. So while living in a sinful world, we find that Noah found. Now, finding that indicates that he was looking. If he had found grace in God's eyes, then he was looking for grace in God's eyes. And so it indicates that he was looking and looking into God's eyes. He knew that there was a God. He come from the line of Seth. He would have been taught as it was being passed down. Now, many of his other siblings and possibly many of those that went on before him had already connected with the ungodly seed of Cain. He might not have had the example of a family as much as what we could have today. We don't know exactly how many and how fast Noah's family. We know that it was connected to the godly seed, but by the time that Noah started building the ark, the godly seed had vanished. For the only ones that was able to get into the ark was Noah and his family. No one else was seeking grace. No one else was even believing that there was a creator God. No one else believed that there would be a flood. No one else believed that there was going to be a judgment. So we find here that all this would take place, but Noah, the Bible says, in God's preparation for grace, he introduces Noah to us, and he says that Noah, even though he was living in an ungodly society, he found grace as he looked into the eyes of the Lord. So, which is what God tells us today, that God is a rewarder of any of those and all those who diligently seek Him. And He is there to be found. And if God is there to be found, can I tell you that grace is there to be found? Because God offers grace. This age that we're living in right now is referred to by many, not only as a church age, but the age of grace. It is more readily available and more readily understood today than ever before in human history. But it's the same grace that we find in Noah's life. So Noah indicates he found grace, indicates he was looking for it, and he chose to receive it. Then he chose to receive it. It means that no one forced it on him. They could not have. Of his own free will, Noah, looking at the world, possibly realizing, I don't want to live like that. I have been taught more about there is a creator God, and I know that this is not within how God would have us to live. And so we find that the Bible records that Noah was seeking after God, and Noah, by looking to God, found grace. And as he found it, he had to receive grace. He had to receive God and His will, His plan for his life, as we have to do today. Once we are believing in God, then we have to understand that God wants us saved. We had to understand that God sent His Son so that we could be saved. And as we look to God for God's grace, we find it through Jesus Christ. And once we understand His grace comes by way of the blood of Christ, Jesus made a way for all of us to escape damnation. Jesus made a way because He paid our sin debt. All we have to do is understand, looking to God, believe that it's God's grace, and receive God's grace by something as simple as asking Jesus to come into your heart. Realizing that you're lost, you deserve it, and yet God loves you enough to send His Son to die for you, and you receive Christ as your Savior. It's been the way it's always been. He chose to receive it. Anyone could have. If you go to a devil's hell, listen to me, young people. If you die and go to a devil's hell, it's no one's fault but your own. Because everything that God could do to help you to come to Him and receive His grace, He's done. And mark it down, if you fail to receive His grace, you will die and go to a devil's hell. It is a reality for all. It's a surety, and it will be more severe than what you could ever imagine. So, after he chose to receive it, then it made a difference in his life, because after Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, said, so these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. It's saying this is how Noah lived in his lifetime. After he found grace, then now as he's starting to describe to us his plan for grace, and that Noah was part of it, and that he was an example of God, the reality of God and God's ways. He modeled how God would have a person to live who believes in God. And so he's telling us here that in his lifetime, in his generations, was saying, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So the way it's always been, first grace and then works. So what's talking about there? Once he found grace, and then his life was a picture of someone who had received grace and a picture of somebody who has been saved, a picture of somebody that has received grace, now have works. That's what James is talking about. If you read the book of James, but I want to take you to Ephesians in chapter 2. I think this is a verse that most of us know, a passage of scripture that most of us are very familiar with, and yet maybe don't really understand how this is exactly the way it was in Noah's day. It's always been this way. It's God's DNA, if you will. I love that idea. It's just you can see God in it because it's God. It's the way he's always been. The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 2, and Paul writes here, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What? Not of works means Noah found grace and then was informed of God's plan for grace to be extended. So grace first. You can't work your way to receive grace. Doesn't work that way. No, the grace has to be received before you can be able to work as God wants you to be able to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then after we have it, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." It's exactly how God would have us to live, and that's exactly how the Spirit of God leads us. Once we have received God's grace, then to model God's grace. And you model God's grace by and through your works, which God hath before ordained. Very same thing. That we should walk in them. Boy, that's good. I know it's a truth that we as Baptists hold to, but do you know why you hold to it? Do you trace it all the way back to the very beginning of time to realize this is God? This is just not the Baptist plan, but this is what God had designed, and it is taught throughout the scriptures. It's taught before the flood. It's taught after the flood in the Old Testament through the Old Testament law, and it's definitely taught in the New Testament through Christ. Because Noah and the ark is a type of Christ and his cross. It's the grace that God was presenting to the world. Same as the lamb, the blood over the doorpost, symbolic of Christ and his blood. And God offered anyone, if you did that, you'd be saved. You'll receive grace. God's plan for grace. So Noah found grace and then was informed. After this, God's plan for grace to be extended. In verse 13 and 14, that's what he says. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." But he said, this is what I'm going to do. "But Noah, I'm going to work through you to extend grace to the world." And he started telling him about the ark, about building the ark. The only plan of salvation God had, which was symbolic of the plan of salvation from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, God's plan for grace. Okay, so are you with me tonight? Amen? So we find here, that's Noah's conversion, first of all. Noah's conversion. He found grace. Now Noah's conduct. After receiving grace in comparison to the conduct of the world, would he be just like the world? Or would grace make a difference in his life? Well, let's look at what the world was at like again. Verse 5, this is the world. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is everything opposite God's will for humanity. Satan had blinded the world to the reality of God, and when he blinds them to the reality of God, he leads them the opposite of God's direction for them. So that's the world. What to say about Noah after he found grace? Well, he was just and perfect. Wow, what a difference. Just purity of his mind, right thinking. Purity of his mind, right thinking. Which as we look back, and the thinking was only evil continually. Now Noah comes and he pictures somebody that is thinking clearly and thinking right about whatever God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. No, why are you building that thing out there? It's in the desert because God told me to, and there's going to be a purpose for it. No, why are you raising your children the way you're raising your children? Because they're so much different. They're going to be oddballs in the world today. And why are you raising your children this way? Because there is a God, and God says this is how he wants me to raise my children. Why do you act the way you do, and why do you do the things you do, and why do you go where you go and don't go other places? Why do you live that way, Noah? Well, because God has told me this is how he wants me to live. He had right thinking, and that he believed in God. And the Bible says that he was perfect. Now, what does that mean? It means living without sin. Was he a sinner? All men are sinners. He had a sin nature. Was he sinless? No, but he would not yield to continual sin. He was perfect. That means he was living without. It's somewhat like what the Bible tells the qualifications for a pastor being and a full-time servant of the Lord being blameless. The very same meaning of that word perfect is the same meaning as blameless in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 when it comes to the testimony of somebody that's going to be an example of Christ, which is an example of grace and how grace will make a difference in your life. Blameless in his actions. In an unjust and unholy world, or a, if you will, godless society, there would have to be persecution to anyone that was going to live right. Anyone that would have right thinking and want to live by God's standards, by the will of God, anyone that was going to want to be blameless was going to stand out. And if they stood out, they would be persecuted because of their differences. Because it would bring conviction on those that were living opposite that. And the world by far outnumbered the believers. You think Christianity is a minority today? How do you think that Noah felt? And yet he continued to live at that way. He continued to be just in his thinking and perfect in how he lived his life as to please the Lord. Job 12:4 says this. Let me just, you can mark it down if you like, but I'm going to just read it to you. Job in chapter 12 and verse 4, Job is one that was suffering because of all the different accusations made by his own friends. He says, I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. You ever feel like that? Just the idea that you believe in a creator God, listen to me, most of the world today is going to laugh at you. Because you are faithful to church on a Wednesday night, most of the world's going to be laughing at you. They're going to mocking you. Praise the Lord, didn't keep you away tonight. And praise the Lord, we have support. Amen. much more than what Noah had. What a blessing to have a church family. What a blessing to have other believers that are still wanting to live as the Bible says to live, and to live with a purpose in mind. To model grace and the difference that grace makes. The difference that salvation makes. That's basically what it is. The difference that salvation makes. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says anyone's going to live godly, going to suffer persecution. Just the way it's going to be in a godless society. So we find back, we find here that God says, all right, Noah, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be judgment. Now he says, he introduces Noah and he says, you're going to be part of my plan for grace. And as Noah found grace in the Lord's eyes, then we find that it tells us because of grace, he lived different than the world. Because of grace, he was just. And because of grace, he was perfect or blameless without sin. His conduct is revealed through this next statement. This is what God says about him. Okay? Now, it says perfect in his generation, just man and perfect in his generation. But then right here it says it. And this is his conduct. And I love this. And Noah walked with God. Can I tell you that God gave us an example of grace and how grace will impact our lives? But the most important thing about all of it, it says, when you understand that, you can walk with God. Now, if you really believe, if you do have faith to understand that God is a creator God, my goodness, God is able to do all things. God is a miracle-working God. God is a gracious God. God is everything that the Bible says about him. And he is offering me an opportunity to walk with him. Noah knew that. Noah believed more than anyone else that God was a creator God. That no matter if everyone was against him, if God be for you, who can be against you? God before you, what matters? He is, you and God are a majority. But you have to know that you're walking with God. What does it take? The Bible very clearly helps us, the New Testament Christianity helps us what Noah had to do, because God doesn't change, to be presented to us as someone who walked with God. The very first thing. Four things, real quick here. What does it take? First of all, submission. James chapter 1. This age of grace through the coming of Christ, he revealed everything about the Old Testament. He reveals everything about who God is, what God's plan was all along, and ultimately what the ultimate judgment will be and what the ultimate blessing will be, heaven or hell. And so we find here in James, right after Hebrews, the book of James, James in chapter 1, hold on for just a second here. I'm sorry, chapter 4. I don't know how I had, I think my 1 became a, my 4 became a 1. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Very clearly here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Was the devil present? You better believe he was. He had all the descendants of Cain who believed and was led by him to believe that there was no God. They were living a godless lifestyle. And what happened is they convinced the children of Seth to marry them and establish families. And before you know it, they overran the earth with their unbelief. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submission, humility in saying, not my will, but thy will be done. If you're going to draw nigh to God, if you're going to walk with God, you have to have submission. The next thing you have to have is separation. Another word that goes right along the very same understanding of separation is sanctification. It means you have to be aware that you have been set apart for God. Noah realized, I've been set apart. God is going to work through me in building this ark and presenting his plan of grace for the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. It tells us that very same thing. This is what that means. Exactly what God told Noah. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18, the Bible says this, "Wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing," that which God says not to touch, or try to live a blameless life, look to get away from sin. "Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What's he saying? You'll be my children, and I will come down, and I will walk with you, and you will walk with me. I'll be your father. You can walk with me, looking to me, as a child looks up to a father. Wow. Isn't that something? Submission. Separation, which also includes the idea of sanctification, set apart. The third thing, schooling. If you're going to walk with God, then God's going to prepare you for his purpose for his life. If you're a loving parent, then you want to prepare your children to do whatever it is that God's called them to do. And you prepare them by teaching them. You prepare them by training them. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us something about how God schools us. How he schools us. In walking with God, he will prepare you. How is he going to prepare you? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus." What is that saying? It's going to prepare you to accomplish whatever God has called you to do. You're walking with God, can I tell you, he's going to prepare you for his will, not your will. You've already humbled yourself and said, "Not Lord, not my will, but thy will." You've already realized in order for me to live for God, I'm going to have to separate myself from the world. As I separate myself from the world, I'm going to go through the things, and God's going to bring things into my life, and trials are a part of the Christian life, and trials are there to help you be prepared to accomplish what God has you here to. What is that? It's all part of walking with God. It's all a part of walking with God. Everyone has burdens to bear. And God has a purpose for every burden that he places on us. Everyone has trials. But you can mark this down. If you're walking with God, that trial has a purpose for it. And it's God schooling you to make you stronger. Amen. The last thing, submission, separation, schooling. And this idea, if you want to stay with the S's or whatever, but the idea here is serenity. What does it take to walk with God? Sometimes it's just, as a psalmist said in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." What is that? That's reverence. That's just reverencing God. Whatever's going on, I'm walking with God, I'm reverencing him. And there's sometimes that there's nothing I can do. Sometimes I've just got to rest in the arms of the Lord until I get through whatever storm, until I get through whatever trial. But it's all part of walking with God. What a great introduction to God's grace, and introducing part of his grace would be Noah. And then what Noah was doing to fulfill the grace, building an ark. One plan. We can learn from that. Should be an inspiration to all of us today. Noah should be. Just to live for God. To let grace take you where God designed grace to take you. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God's introduction of his grace now. Judgment's coming, but God would offer grace before judgment. We looked at the severity of the judgment, the surety of judgment, but the idea here now is grace offered Noah and the ark is a picture of God's grace. Jesus and the cross today, that's what it was symbolic of. That's God's plan, has always been God's plan. But it's more made more clear today than ever before. You say, I've received Christ. Praise the Lord. That's good. Because you can't work for him until you've received him. All your works are going to be burned up. Whatever you do outside of salvation is burned up. But once we are saved, we ought to be looking to do all that he would have us to do. How do you do that, preacher? Just walk with God. Learn how to walk with God. Not going to have a musical invitation, but there's a time right now if you need to come for whatever reason or just make a decision in your pew, commit to whatever God might have spoken to you about tonight. If you're lost, don't leave here tonight without knowing that you're saved. But if you're saved, Wednesday night, most of the time, people here are saved. Praise the Lord for it. Have a better understanding of God's plan for your life through grace. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this example of Noah and how that we can learn from it and be inspired by it as well. Now be with us as we leave here tonight. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.